is CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor. Here's John Batchelor.
Ukraine conflict. The country is damaged to the point of needing reparations. Huge, huge repair jobs. Where's the money coming from? One recommendation is the EU. The EU making Ukraine a member. And then another recommendation is the U.S. However, I welcome Josh Rogan. He writes global opinions for the Washington Post. Josh, a very good evening to you. The Congress is moving on this, the question of where the money comes from. And they've come up with something original called the Repo Act. What is that? Good evening to you, Josh.
Well, good evening, John. Well, here we are in January, and still there's no funding for Ukraine aid for that will run out at the end of this month. And it's a huge problem, not just for the Ukrainians, but for the Biden administration, because without the funding, our international coalition to arm and support Ukraine to defend against Russian aggression is likely to collapse, and Russia is likely to take territory, and lots of innocent Ukrainians are likely to suffer and die, and that would be a tragedy. But the problem is that right now the political constituency in Congress for approving continued funding just isn't there. And on the Republican side, there's just a lot of skepticism about it, and there's fatigue on the right and the left about paying Americans money for Ukraine. So a bunch of lawmakers got together, and they came up with an idea. There's $300 billion worth of Russian assets frozen. They've been frozen for more than a year as punishment for Ukraine aid. And since it seems pretty clear that under any fair reading of international law, Russia is responsible for compensating its victims in Ukraine after the war, why not just take those $300 billion of frozen assets and use that to rebuild Ukraine? I mean, we've already got the money, and as you said, there's no real other good solution to where that money's going to come from. A couple of problems. One is that we've never really done that before. Taking sovereign assets from another country just because you hold them is somewhat new, somewhat unprecedented. It has to be done very carefully. We wouldn't want that to become a regular practice. And secondly, most of the money is actually not inside the United States. It's inside Belgium or Switzerland or Luxembourg. So without getting Europe on board, this could never happen. But what I argued in the Washington Post is very simple, is that if you can tell voters, especially Republican voters, that the money to rebuild Ukraine is not going to come out of their pockets, but in fact, Putin is going to be made to pay for it, Republican voters might have an easier time getting to yes on the aid, and a catastrophe might be avoided.
So we have different ambitions here. One is to pay for reparations. Another is to finesse the Republican intransigence about aiding Ukraine. But I want to make certain I understand. This is $300 billion, maybe as much as $375 billion. I see different numbers. Is any of it to be, presuming that this goes through at the G7 meeting in February, they're working on a presentation now. Is any of it to be used for armaments, for what they need now to get through the winter, or is it all going to be designated for rebuilding?
Right, that's a key distinction. This would only be used for mid to long-term rebuilding and reconstruction. It would not be used to fund the war effort, and so it does not replace the need for Congress to also pass billions of dollars in additional new military, economic, and humanitarian assistance for Ukraine just to get through this year. What it can do is it can provide a political cover for Republicans who are scared of backlash from the GOP base, and also give Americans a reassurance that there's an end to this commitment, that when it comes time to rebuild Ukraine, there'll be a pot of money that will be sitting there. Now, how that gets done, there'll have to be a mechanism, there'll have to be some sort of organization to distribute it, make sure it doesn't all go into corrupt coffers and all of that. That's a multi-year effort all by itself. So this is a very complicated set of policies that never really existed before. But first, you have to have the political will to do it. And that's been the problem, is that the Biden administration didn't want to do it. They know the Europeans didn't want to do it. But now they really have little choice, because if this is the way to get some Republicans, at least those who want to support Ukraine but are scared of political backlash, to vote for the Ukraine aid, then that's really the most important thing right now. So it was always a good idea, in my view, and now it's a politically expedient one as well.
I have read in other venues that one hesitation is about who's at war with whom. For example, in World War I, there were a lot of German assets in the United States, chiefly liners that were lined up in Jersey Shore and New York Shore. When war was declared between the U.S. and Germany, they confiscated those assets. They just held them until the end of the war, demanding reparations from Germany because the U.S. was at war with Germany. The U.S. is not at war with Russia. Is that a problem, Josh?
Right. I mean, the international legal justification is somewhat convoluted, to be quite honest. And, you know, there's other examples you could point to. The international community seized and reappropriated Iraqi Saddam Hussein's foreign held assets after he invaded Kuwait. Although, again, it's a little bit of apples and oranges. So, you know, you could come up with an international legal argument that says this is not okay, since, yes, we don't have a war with Russia, and freezing assets is quite different than taking them and giving them to someone else, which is a little bit even more aggressive. But you could also come up with an international legal argument that supports it, which goes something like this. You know, Russia is internationally legally responsible for the damage it's done in Ukraine, and they're not going to give up that money voluntarily. So this is a down payment on those future obligations. So I think you could fudge the legality either way, but the real question is whether or not Europe is going to get on board, and if the Biden administration is going to put its full weight behind this thing. And to be honest, we don't know the answer to either of those.
I like the finesse saying, listen, Putin, you have to rebuild this country. You wrecked it. And if you do rebuild it, we'll give you your money back. That was a very nice piece of leverage. Now, back to the politics of the Republican Party. That intransigence, is it fixed? Is it done? No money for us for armaments ever?
It's not looking good, John. To be quite honest, the longer this goes with no funding for Ukraine, I think the harder the math becomes on the GOP side. And now, of course, it's wrapped in with a border deal and the budget deal. And the Congress is going to shut down, at least partially, on January 19th if there's no deal on the budget. And it doesn't look good. It doesn't look like it's going to happen. So Ukraine aid is like third or fourth in line in the list of big things that the Republican caucus has to come to agreement on. And they haven't come to agreement on anything in a long time. So, I think the political situation picture gets worse for Ukraine and Washington, especially on the GOP side, as Donald Trump returns to the scene, as the election gets going, because the Trump wing of the party doesn't want to give Ukraine one more cent ever. And as long as Trump's leader of the party, there's going to be a lot of people under a lot of pressure to go along with that.
And the EU, is there a moment there? The blockage was by Hungary. Are they ready to finesse to get some money to Ukraine?
Yeah, I think they're going to have to find ways around that, because if one country like Hungary is allowed to stop 30 other European countries from aiding Ukraine, well, then that's a defect in that EU system that they're going to have to fix one way or the other. In the end, most European countries that support Ukraine will follow if America leads. And if American support for Ukraine collapses, we can't expect Europe to pick up the slack, because, it's an American-led coalition. And if we don't have the will to support freedom and democracy, there's little chance our allies will as well.
It's called the Repo Act, Rebuilding Economic Prosperity and Opportunity for Ukrainians Act. Josh Rogan writes global opinions for The Washington Post. This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Beck.